Genesis chapter 40, where we'll pick up tonight. Appreciate Otis 2 weeks ago taking chapter 38 and Bud last week taking chapter 39. I want us to back up a little bit into 39 so we can get a good running start into chapter 40. Because what we find at the end of chapter 39 sort of sets the stage for what we find in chapter 40. But as we think back to chapter 37, and Joseph has been thrown into the pit by his brothers. He's been brought up out of the pit. He's been sold into slavery, and he's been carried off to Egypt. Then we get this interlude of chapter 38. And in chapter 39, we find where Joseph winds up in Egypt. It's at Potiphar's house. And Potiphar was a very powerful man. So he finds himself in a position in the house of this very powerful man in Egypt. Now, when he was at home with his brothers, they thought he was nothing but trouble. He was the troublemaker. He brought on all these problems. But now he's in Egypt. Now he's in Potiphar's house. And what's changed? Everything is going good, right? Everything he does, God blesses. Everything he does just turns out right. Now, do we have any reason to think that it would go any other way? No, the Lord was with him, right? And so if the Lord was with him, then the Lord was going to bless him. The Lord had promised to bless the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And here's Joseph, the one who is being blessed. You ever find yourself in a difficult circumstance? You ever find yourself in a difficult situation? I think we all have. And so what do? In those difficult situations, we pray and we trust in God, right? We pray, we trust in God, and that seems to be what Joseph did. He made the best of this bad situation. And things were working out so well, he advanced in the household, and he was over everything in the house except for the food that Potiphar was to eat. Sometimes when we're blessed, we might have a tendency to want to hoard those blessings to ourselves. But we don't see that in the life of Joseph. Even in a situation where he didn't want to be, he was sharing those blessings. The blessings that he was receiving, he was using as a benefit to even his oppressors. But it turns out they weren't really oppressing him that much, right? Because they recognized something. Even as people who didn't believe in the one true God of heaven, they still recognized there was something about Joseph. And the blessings that they were receiving were because of him. Now, we fast forward down into verse 7 of chapter 39, and that's where we find Potiphar's wife and the advances that she's making toward him. You know, you wonder why some things are in the Scriptures. And so if you didn't have verses 7 through 20, why does it matter in verse 6 that Joseph was handsome in form and appearance? It seems the only reason that's in there is to say he's a good-looking man and Potiphar's wife was interested. Right? That's the only reason it's there. But good looks seem to run in this family, right? Either one side or the other. Either the mother is very attractive or the man is very attractive. Seems like it's usually the woman. That may be a timeless truth, right? That the women are the more attractive of the married couple. Y'all can argue about that at home. But Potiphar's wife was making these advances toward Joseph, and Joseph continually refused her advances. And we're not going to get into what might have happened if he had given in, or what might have happened with all these other hypotheticals. We know that he didn't give in. And we know that that upset Potiphar's wife. And so she trapped him, essentially. And she's left holding his robe, and he's running with no clothes away when she screams and all these others hear her. And so she's got these witnesses to this alleged crime that she accuses Joseph of. Potiphar gets home. She tells Potiphar her story. And Potiphar throws him in jail. I don't know if y'all talked about last week why he threw him in jail as opposed to having him killed. Because that could have happened, right? That would have been a reasonable punishment for the crime that Joseph had been accused of. But if for no other reason, Joseph wasn't killed because that wasn't God's plan. We've seen God working through the life of Joseph now from beginning in chapter 37, or 36, now 37, and now we see it in 39, and we'll see it through the rest of his life, God working through him. And so it wasn't in God's plan for Joseph to die right there. So he's in jail. And I want us to pick up reading in verse 20 of chapter 39. Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. And he was there in prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Again, what do we see here? God is still with Joseph. Good times, bad times. Where is God in relation to Joseph? He's right there with him. And the keeper of the prison put Joseph in charge of all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever was done there, he was the one who did it. The keeper of the prison paid no attention to anything that was in Joseph's charge because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made it succeed. Scott, you have trustees at the jail, right? Do you pay attention to what they do? You pay attention to what the trustees do. So Joseph, the closest thing that we could compare him to in his situation would be a trustee in the jail, right? He is a prisoner, but he has these responsibilities. He has this work detail that he's in charge of. He's not just on it, he's in charge of it, right? He's in charge of all the prisoners. And the warden doesn't even pay attention to what he's doing. Wouldn't you love to have a jail full of prisoners like that? Scott?
It seems like the Egyptians are fond of delegating.
It does. It does. They didn't want to do the work. If you're in charge, well, you just get somebody else to do the work for you. And that's not a bad plan, really, is it? But there was something about Joseph. Again, these people didn't believe in God. At least not the one true God. The God that Joseph served. The God that was with Joseph. They didn't believe in that God. But they noticed something different about Joseph. Potiphar had him as a slave and promoted him over everything in his house except the food he ate. He goes to jail. Apparently convicted of this crime he didn't commit. This crime of making the sexual advance toward his master's wife. And in very short order, he is promoted to the head of the prisoners. What did they notice different about Joseph than all the other criminals in that jail? They had to recognize the Lord was with them, even though they didn't believe in Him. They noticed all these things, everything He did was good. It turned out right. And they probably also noticed something about the character of Joseph. He was a man of integrity. And he was one who did the right thing. But as he finds himself there in jail, if we just read this account in chapter 39 of Genesis, we think, well, he had a pretty easy life in jail. It's not that hard, right? You go to jail, you get your meals, you get your place to sleep, and you're in charge of all the prisoners. And you don't have anybody really watching over you. You're watching over everybody else. But I want us to notice just real quick that at least for some amount of time, it wasn't that easy for him. Flip over to Psalm 108. Psalm 105, I'm sorry. Psalm 105. Starting in verse 16, when he summoned a famine on the land, talking about God summoning this famine on the land. We're not there yet. We're not to the famine yet, but we'll get there in a week or so. When he summoned a famine on the land and broke all supply of bread, he had sent a man ahead of them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. His feet were hurt with fetters. His neck was put in a collar of iron. Does that sound like a comfortable life? His feet hurt. He had an iron collar. And so maybe we get a little bit different picture of Joseph's jail experience. At least for some time, maybe when he first arrived, it wasn't that pleasant. And besides, even if it was the good life in jail, who would want to be there? As an innocent man, especially. It'd be one thing if he had done the crime and he, you know what, I need to pay my debt to society. I need to serve this time in jail. But he was innocent. He had done nothing to deserve going to jail. And here, at least at some point, according to Psalm 105, he was abused in jail. But at some point, he was promoted. He had charge over everything, every prisoner in the jail, and very little oversight. But as he finds himself there in jail, the Lord's still with him. But he's got to be thinking, now what, God? Right? I mean, that. Remember, Joseph is a human, just like us. And I think if we find ourselves in that situation, then we're going to question, now what? We may not, maybe we'll question, why? Why are we here, God? Or why have you left me, God? Joseph wasn't asking those questions, and we don't know that he was asking what now, but we do know he had to wait. But
he was in irons around his neck and his feet, right? And so that severely limited him. Somehow or another, he got out of there. And what he had available to him was, that I was thinking about, was his demeanor and his mouth. Somehow or another, he convinced somebody, somehow, that he needed to be out of that. And I'm not too sure, but I would think that a guy that has good ideas to solve problems might be that person.
Sure. Absolutely. And we'll see that Joseph is that guy.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. You know, God was with Joseph for sure. But you also have to look at Joseph's attitude in this whole situation, because in order for him to be placed in a position of authority in all of these situations, he at least had to do something. You know, at no point could he have just simply shut down and said, well, I'm a prisoner. You know, you're not getting any help out of me. You guys are the bad guys. I'm the one that's being mistreated. I'm done. I quit playing. You know, he helps the people that ostensibly, you know, are his masters and the ones that are oppressing him. And he never quits, and they notice that.
That's right. As he's waiting there in the jail, God never leaves him. You ever prayed to God and asked him for something? Yes. You ever not gotten it? Have you ever prayed to God, asked for something, and not gotten it right away, but got it sometime later? Sometimes we see God delaying things. But that does not mean that God has denied us. Sometimes we have to wait. Sometimes that waiting helps to strengthen us and helps to prepare us for something that's later on down the road for us. Joseph was not at the top of the heap in his home, was he? No. But when he went into slavery, he found himself at the top. But then he was brought back low when he went to jail. But in the course of time, he was brought back high. And as we'll see tonight, he interprets these two dreams and he's feeling good about himself. Right? This butler, this cupbearer, he's going to get me out of this. But then as time went by over the course of those next 2 years, I would imagine his demeanor changed. His mindset maybe wasn't as bright and cheery as it was previously. But it put him in the position to help when the help was needed.
Another, it's not mentioned, I don't think, except that he did feel bad, but he kept on with the plan that he had. That is, was to do good for those people over him.
That's right. So let's pick up in chapter 40. I'm going to read. I'm going to read about the first 12 or 13 verses. Sometime after this, the cupbearer of the king of Egypt and his baker committed an offense against their lord and the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was angry with his two officers, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker. And he put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard in the prison where Joseph was confined. The captain of the guard appointed Joseph to be with them, and he attended them. They continued for some time in custody. Now, Joseph is not in the county jail. Sorry, or the parish jail, right? This is a white-collar prison. This is where Pharaoh's prisoners go. These are the executives, the big wigs, who get caught doing something they shouldn't do, and they go off to prison. Club Fed, Kathy said. And so, as Joseph is in this prison, in this jail, he's coming into contact with some high-ranking people, some officials. What's the baker do for Pharaoh? Cooks his food. Pretty important job, right? A job that requires a great deal of trust from the king, right? Because if the baker wanted to take out the king, it wouldn't be too hard, would it? Poison the food. What's the butler do, the cupbearer? He brings him his drink, and he might take a taste of it to prove it's not poisoned. But another job, very close to Pharaoh, very close to the king. Two positions that, you know, if they get restored to their position, they're going to have Pharaoh's ear. Because Pharaoh has to trust these men. And apparently they had done something to break that trust, and that's what put them in the position they were in jail. But Joseph, by chance, right, just sheer luck for Joseph, he's with these two men. I don't think it's luck. I don't think it's chance. Again, we see the providence of God working. And one night, they both dreamed, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were confined in prison, each his own dream, and each dream with its own interpretation. When Joseph came to them in the morning, he saw that they were troubled. So he asked Pharaoh's officers who were with him in custody in the master's house, "Why are your faces downcast today?" They said to him, We have had dreams, and there is no one to interpret." And Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Please tell them to me." Were dreams a big deal in Egypt? They were a very big deal in Egypt. And we'll learn more about that on later in the chapter 40. And so if you had a dream, a vivid dream that you remembered, you needed somebody to tell you what it meant. Because if you didn't know what it meant, you wouldn't know what would happen. So by chance, by luck, these two men have Joseph who can interpret dreams. Now again, God put these people together for a reason.
To say that, and the reason I think he had confidence is because of what had happened so far. It had been put in charge of that jailhouse, and then whenever he said, "Please tell them to me," well, they knew his reputation, and they didn't hesitate.
Right,
just went ahead and told him.
That's right. And so let's hear the dreams. Right, starting in verse 9. The chief cupbearer told his dream to Joseph and said to him, "In my dream, there was a vine before me. On the vine, there were three branches. As soon as it budded, its blossoms shot forth, and the clusters ripened into grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand. And I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup and placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand." Now, shouldn't it be obvious what that dream meant? Right? There's no question what that dream meant. Why would he need somebody to tell him what that... Would you need somebody to tell you what that meant? It's not obvious, right? But it was obvious to Joseph. Joseph said to him, verse 12, "This is its interpretation. The three branches are 3 days. In 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your office, and you shall place Pharaoh's cup in his hand for... as formerly, when you were his cupbearer." That's a pretty simple interpretation, right?
And specific.
And very specific. And Joseph, they didn't negotiate terms for Joseph interpreting this dream before he interpreted it. But once he did, once he told them what this dream meant, he had just a simple request. "Only remember me when it's well with you, and please do me the kindness to mention me to Pharaoh, and so to get me out of this house. For I was indeed stolen out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also I have done nothing that they should put me into the pit." So, Joseph interprets this dream. It's a very favorable dream, right? A very favorable interpretation. He asks this favor. But in asking this favor, it's the first time we really see him complain, isn't it? "I was stolen and brought here as a slave." I shouldn't even be in here because I'm innocent. But notice what he doesn't mention. He doesn't mention the guilty parties involved in how he got where he is. He doesn't mention his brothers. He doesn't mention Potiphar's wife. Now, it's possible that the cupbearer already knew about those situations, but it wasn't mentioned here. The nothing that should put him in the position that he's in. Now, that's the cupbearer and his dream. So now you're the baker. And you hear this interpretation. You know what your dream was, and it's eerily similar, right? And so you hear Joseph's interpretation of this dream. Pharaoh will lift up your head. Pharaoh will restore you to your position. You'll put his drink back in his cup. You'll put his cup back in his hand in 3 days. You want to know yours, don't you? As the baker, you've got an idea now of what your interpretation is going to be. It's going to be just like the cupbearer. You're going to be cooking again in 3 days for Pharaoh. You're going to be restored to your previous position. He will lift your head up and you'll be glad about this in 3 days. When the chief baker saw the interpretation was favorable, he said to Joseph, "I also had a dream. There were 3 cake baskets on my head, and in the uppermost basket were all sorts of baked food for Pharaoh, but the birds were eating it out of the basket on my head." And Joseph answered and said, "This is its interpretation. The 3 baskets are 3 days." Okay, it's going good, right? "In 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head." All right, this is going good. It's just the same. "From you." "Ouch. And hang you on a tree. And the birds will eat the flesh from you." That took a wrong turn, didn't it? It sounded good at the beginning. But it took a bad turn for the baker. Verse 20, "On the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, he made a feast for all his servants and lifted up the head of the chief cupbearer and the head of the chief baker among his servants. He restored the chief cupbearer to his position and he placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted to them." Came true. His interpretation came true. How do you think Joseph felt? About these interpretations coming true.
He probably felt that God was with him because God was working through him.
Okay.
And God was giving him the insight of what to say to these 2 officials.
Okay, what a comfort to know that his interpretation of these dreams came true, and it certainly had to be God who was working through him for these interpretations. What a great feeling. Absolutely. But one of these guys died. How do you feel about that, Joseph?
I know how I would feel, and I would feel at least some measure of guilt about that. And it's not your fault, but anytime you have to give somebody bad news and then you see it play out, and that's gut wrenching. And you're glad for the cupbearer. You're super pumped that he got what he needed, and you're hoping he remembers you, but. That baker, and because this sounds like it was a show. This is happening on Pharaoh's birthday, and he lifts these guys up out of jail, and he's showing them off to his friends, and one guy gets his job back, The other guy gets hanged. You know, there's no discussion about, well, we got evidence that shows this guy was innocent and evidence that shows this guy was guilty. It's just Pharaoh says, you get your job back, we're hanging you.
It's just what he wanted to do for his birthday party. That's what it, you're absolutely right. That's what it seems like, an entertainment for Pharaoh.
This is my power.
That's right.
I have life in one hand, death in another hand.
But you know, that too, I think, would be an encouragement to Joseph, right? That Pharaoh does actually reconsider the cases of these convicts in jail. And some have a chance, at least a chance, of being restored to a position in Pharaoh's palace. Surely that's something that he would hope for. He wouldn't want to spend the rest of his life in jail. How could he accomplish what God's purpose was? Because what's supposed to happen for Joseph according to his dreams?
He would have a high position of authority, and the other people would be bound down to him.
Okay. He's supposed to be in a real position of authority. Do you think he thought that was coming true at Potiphar's house? Maybe. But then it went away. Do you think he thought it might be coming true in the jail? Yet, verse 23, the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. That seems a little redundant, right? He didn't remember him, but he forgot him. Why double it up there? I don't know that there is an answer, but we just know that when the cupbearer got out, when he got... Oh, Chris.
Well, I think it's... To me, this story's always been kind of comical because we have Joseph sitting in prison. And what does he get? He gets a wine taster and a cook. And I guess the lesson for me is you never know where salvation is coming from in terms of what God is going to send. And whether whatever you get, you make the most of, I guess, is the lesson for me. It's he helped these guys. I don't know that he ever expected to get out of the pit again. He knew what God had told him, but he didn't know how. Mm-hmm. But yet what he has, the only thing he has to use is these two guys. So I think it was just part of his nature to do that. You know, this is, I don't say it's an opportunity. I don't think he looked at it as, okay, here's my opportunity to get out. But here's what I can do. He says, you know, who can interpret these things but God? So here's what God says about them.
Right. And you know, what ultimately happens, the cupbearer does get him out. Where should we place, or in whom should we place our trust? In a wine taster? A cupbearer to the king? We place our trust in God. And Joseph, while he was using the cupbearer as perhaps a means to get to Pharaoh's ear, and maybe he sees this, maybe this is God's way to get me out. He does what he should do for this man in that situation and keeps his trust in God. Otis.
Well, he had 14 years to learn the system. He had 11 years with Potiphar, and then he had 3 years in prison. Mm-hmm. When he got there, he didn't know anything about Egypt. So how can you rule it if you don't know it?
Sure.
So he had 14 years to learn it.
That's right. God has a time schedule for his people that doesn't always line up with his people's time schedule for God. Right, when we realize we want something, well, when do we want it? Well, yesterday, probably. We should have already had it. By the time we realize we need it, we think we already should have had it. But that's not the way God works. And I've said it before, and you've heard it before from other people. God is never early. God is never late. God is always right on time. Thank
you. And it's not just a timing issue either. It's from the direction that God wants it to go as well. Because Joseph was going to jail one way or the other. You know, Joseph was righteous in that situation. He handled that situation the best that it could possibly be handled and kept his hands as clean as they possibly could be. And he still went to jail. You know, if he had faltered and given in, he'd have been in jail. But he was righteous, and he went to jail, and that was God's plan. You know, and so that is where God wanted Pharaoh to find Joseph. And so it's a timing issue, but it's also a place issue too. You know, things are going to happen the way God wants them to happen.
That's right. 3 days after these dreams are interpreted, the dreams come true. The cupbearer is restored to his position in Pharaoh's house. Joseph, I'm sure, felt confident that he'd be out in no time. The cupbearer, though, didn't remember him. He forgot about him. Now, not completely, I guess, because we'll see that he comes back to his mind when another situation presents itself. But God has been working through Joseph, throughout Joseph's life, and we see it in the jail. God preparing Joseph for what's coming next. And I know 41 wasn't in the homework, but we can go ahead and get started, right? Let's read the first 8 verses of chapter 41. After 2 whole years, Pharaoh dreamed that he was standing by the Nile. And behold, there came up out of the Nile 7 cows, attractive and plump, and they fed in the reed grass. And behold, 7 other cows, ugly and thin, came up out of the Nile after them and stood by the other cows on the bank of the Nile. And the ugly, thin cows ate up the 7 attractive, plump cows. And Pharaoh awoke, and he fell asleep and dreamed a second time. And behold, 7 ears of grain, plump and good, were growing on one stalk. And behold, after them sprouted 7 ears, thin and blighted by the east wind. And the thin ears swallowed up the 7 plump, full ears. And Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. So in the morning his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all its wise men. Pharaoh told them his dreams, but there was none who could interpret them to Pharaoh. So 2 years have passed. Joseph is still plugging away in the jail, waiting for something to happen. And when things started to happen, they happened very quickly for Joseph. If we have a doubt about the sovereignty of God, if you ever have a doubt about the sovereignty of God, read Genesis chapter 41. God was working in every one of these people in one form or fashion. In what we just read in verses 1 through 8, God sent dreams to Pharaoh. Not just one dream, but 2 dreams. 2 dreams that Pharaoh couldn't understand. 2 dreams that none of his interpreters could understand. Later in our Old Testaments, in the book of Daniel, King Nebuchadnezzar has some dreams, but he forgets them. Pharaoh did not forget his dreams. He shared them with anybody who would listen, and nobody could help him. God sent those dreams to Pharaoh. Then the chief cupbearer said to Pharaoh, "I remember my offenses today. When Pharaoh was angry with his servants and put me and the chief baker in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, we dreamed on the same night, he and I, each having a dream with its own interpretation. A young Hebrew was there with us, a servant of the captain of the guard. When we told him, he interpreted our dreams to us, giving an interpretation to each man according to his dream. And as he interpreted to us, so it came about. I was restored to my office and the baker was hanged." God reminded this cupbearer of Joseph. So God sends these dreams to Pharaoh. Then God reminds the cupbearer about Joseph. These events took place on a memorable night for Pharaoh, didn't they? Maybe that's why it was on his birthday that they were released and these things happened, because he could remember. Pharaoh would be familiar with these men in that situation. And obviously, Pharaoh had never heard the story about their dreams. Now he is. And what a relief that message would be to Pharaoh. Pharaoh was troubled. Pharaoh was dismayed. Pharaoh didn't know what he was going to do because he couldn't understand his dreams. Nobody in Egypt could understand his dreams. And so this would be the greatest message at the most opportune time for Joseph. Pharaoh had just released one prisoner, had killed another. How open 2 years ago might he have been to releasing another prisoner? We don't know. There was certainly no reason for him to do it. But now, 2 years later, with this dream, or these dreams, there was a reason.
Well, and the timing of this also gives God an opportunity to show Pharaoh his power and how special Joseph was, and put Joseph in a special light. Because had Joseph come out of jail at that moment when the cupbearer got his job back on the basis of being able to interpret dreams, you would assume that his role in Pharaoh's household would be dream interpreter. So when Pharaoh has a dream, who's he call? Well, he's going to call Joshua or Joseph. And then Joseph interprets the dream. But he doesn't know anything about Joseph, so he consults all these other people who fail. And no one else can do it. He's tried. And so, oh, now I remember. There's this guy in jail. And here comes Joseph, and he's able to interpret the dream after everyone else has failed. And so instead of being in the position where he was the first one asked, he was the last one asked, and everyone else had a chance to fail. Every other option had a chance to fail. And sometimes that's what we have to see in our lives, is that there are no other options available to us but God.
That's right. And that's what's interesting. We'll read it here in just a minute. Joseph said he couldn't do it either. Let's pick up in verse 14. God has given Pharaoh these dreams. God has reminded the cupbearer about Joseph. Now God leads Pharaoh to call for Joseph. Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they quickly brought him out of the pit. He shaved himself and changed his clothes. He came before Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I've had a dream, and there is no one who can interpret it. I've heard it said of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it." Joseph answered Pharaoh, It is not in me. It is not in me. You ask Joseph, have you ever in your life interpreted a dream? What's he going to say? He's going to say no. He's going to say, I didn't do it. It is not in me. God will give Pharaoh a favorable answer. Now, we're not going to go through reading the answer. The answer is 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. And the 7 years of famine are going to be so bad that you won't even remember the 7 years of plenty. Is that a favorable interpretation? What made it favorable? Knowing in advance, right? That is the what makes this interpretation favorable. Verse 25 is where he explains it. The dreams are one. God has revealed to Pharaoh what he is to do about it. And then he tells him, and then verse 28, it says, I told Pharaoh, God has shown to Pharaoh what he's about to do. God has shown to Pharaoh what he, God, is about to do. Did Pharaoh believe in God? No.
Not at that point.
Not at that point. But somehow, he believed in Joseph. We've got just a minute or two left, and so we're going to stop here. And I want to try to make an application here. Do you know somebody who doesn't believe in God? Do you have friends that don't believe in God? Do they perhaps at least believe in you? So what can we do? If we have people in our lives who don't believe in God, but they believe in us, what can we do to cultivate a belief in God?
Rather than ourselves.
Okay, what did Joseph do?
Gave the glory to God.
Joseph said, I can't do anything. It's God who does it. And over through the life of Joseph, the Lord was with him. The Lord was with him. The Lord was with him. The Lord was with him and blessed him. Joseph remembered that. As Christians, let's remember that too. The Lord is with us. We can't do anything good without him. And let's share that with others. Thank you for your attention and your comments tonight. We'll finish chapter 41 and get into chapter 42 next week.